This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Wednesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Rob Hart for Chris Kreidel. 66 degrees in Chicago under sunny skies, breezy and warm this afternoon, going up to 72. The complete AccuWeather forecast is coming up.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by Grandview Homes. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Joan Doniger.
Well, Cisco, it's IBM and everybody else on Wall Street today. The Dow, which had flirted with 23,000 yesterday, left it in the dust right at the open. Right now, it's up 149 points, trading at 23,147. The NASDAQ is up 4, the S&P 9. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index gaining a third of a percent. That with help from Sears Holdings, its shares are up almost 4% to lead the average. IBM is seeing its best day in 8 years. On the strength of its earnings report, not only did Big Blue beat expectations on revenue, the loss was smaller than analysts predicted. Even better, the company hinted IBM now is starting to get back on track after 6 years of falling revenue as it turns direction from a hardware maker to a cloud and security firm. And Wall Street is having the last laugh today because the Dow's record-setting performance, actually all three averages are aiming right now for records, but tomorrow marks the 20th anniversary of Black Monday, when the Dow dropped nearly 23% for its biggest ever decline. Robin Cisco?
Well, coming up on the program, we will take a look at construction and the economy, some new reports out today. And while Chicago goes all in on Amazon's HQ2, Walgreens is slowly migrating south of Lake Cook Road, setting up in Chicago, moving out of Deerfield.
Personal Finance Wednesday, when couples get together, should they merge their finances or keep them separate? We'll also get an update on Cubs ticket prices today. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess they're going down, but we'll find out for sure.
Information you can bank on. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The report on new construction tops today's data, while taxes and health care dominate this week's discussions. We're joined by Yelena Shulyacheva, who is a senior U.S. economist with Bloomberg based in New York. Yelena, welcome back to the program. Let's start off with the new home construction numbers, which were rather disappointing.
Disappointing, absolutely, but that was kind of expected because the hurricanes in August and September disrupted home building activity, indicating that the sector likely subtracted from economic growth in the third quarter. However, as it will be the case with a lot of economic data, and we already see some evidence of that, the impact will likely be short-lived and will impact the third quarter GDP data, but then we will see a rebound shortly after, as soon as this current quarter. So we see some rebounds already in auto sales and initial jobless claims and other high-frequency economic data. So while the report was disappointing, we think that it will be a little bit of a short-lived, and it will recover soon.
And if you take a step back, there's still a great deal of demand for housing. It's hard to find a house or at least buy one because the market is so hot. So the construction companies, the developers are back to work trying to make up for some of that demand.
Absolutely. And there's a little bit of a disconnect between demand and supply right now. So as you mentioned, there's a lot of demand and prospective homeowners have a lot of difficulty finding a place to live. Usually you basically respond to that by increasing construction, but that is not what is happening in this economic cycle. There are some other issues outside of the scope of like a regular supply-demand relation, so that there's a lack of available workers. So that's one thing. There are less available lots. So if you take all these factors into account, you get less of a supply, a lot of demand, and higher prices as a result.
A lot of talk about tax cuts in Washington, really restructuring several areas of the tax system. As an economist, are there tax changes that you think would be positive for the economy in the short run and the long run?
Well, certainly there will be a positive impact to GDP from the tax cuts. But what we really need is a comprehensive tax reform rather than just a simple short-term tax cut, because the economy is already operating near full employment. And at this point of economic cycle, especially, we don't really need too much of a boost. So what we really need is a comprehensive tax reform, which will help the economy in the long run, will create a little bit more boost to growth in the next few years by, you know, improving productivity and creating more potential growth for the economy.
Great insight. Always appreciate you being here. Yelena Shulyachova, a senior U.S. economist at Bloomberg in New York. Coming up, an update on the prospects for an Amazon headquarters in Chicago.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Walgreens is expanding its corporate presence in Chicago as the city waits for the huge decision from Amazon regarding the company's second headquarters. Let's find out more about both of these stories from Greg Hines, columnist at Crain's Chicago Business. Greg, let's begin with Walgreens, bringing some jobs downtown. Tell us what Walgreens is doing.
They'd already a few years ago moved part of their tech operation downtown because there's more talent out here. It's the kids these days don't want to truck out to Northbrook. They want to be someplace where it's a little more fun and easy to get to. Well, they're doubling that. They're now moving the tech part of their operation that supports their pharmaceutical, their drug sales. So the bottom line is they're increasing from 300 now to 600 jobs when they're done.
Now, the mayor would love to have all of Walgreens here downtown. Is there any chance of that happening anytime soon?
That has been rumored for years. A colleague and I did a story about when they were apparently looking at the old post office a few years ago. That didn't pan out. I think it's a possibility, but Walgreens has other problems that they got to deal with, mainly this challenge from Amazon, which is now making noises about selling pharmaceutical drugs themselves, that's really driven down Walgreens stock in the last few weeks.
Let's talk about Amazon's HQ2. The city has perfected the PowerPoint presentation. They have made their pitch official. And one of the potential sites that they are pitching is the Michael Reese Hospital site just south of downtown. And as this whole process lurches forward, there seems to be some echoes of the efforts to land the 2016 Olympics in Chicago.
You may be right, although the mayor certainly hopes that's not the case. I think the city thought it was going to win the Olympics the last time, and it was probably never in the race. There's been a lot of stuff that's come out since about old bribery of IOC members and stuff like that.
This time, yes, bricks of gold in people's offices and things along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, just little strange things like that seem to always happen with the Olympics. In this case, I don't think anybody at City Hall thinks this is in the bag. But the opinion is pretty unanimous that Chicago really is in the running for this. And it's understandable why. I mean, Amazon is dangling 50,000 jobs, each paying an average of $100,000 or more. You don't get any better than that.
And what is the total price tag on the incentives that would lure Amazon here, potentially?
That is the big question that nobody is answering quite yet. I think it's a big number. From what I'm hearing, it's not as big as the $7 billion that New Jersey Governor Chris Christie put on the table to try to get Amazon to go to Newark. But I think it's certainly in the billions. We may find out tomorrow. Both the city and the state are saying that the deadline to apply is tonight. They don't want to give away any secrets, but they're saying that tomorrow they'll let us in on some of the details of their bid.
Now, Chicago's had such success in getting corporations to move headquarters here. If Amazon doesn't, is this psychologically going to be a blow to city leaders?
Oh, maybe yes, maybe no. Success breeds on success, and frankly, there's so much been going on in that area now that that losing one or two isn't going to stop that trend. There's been kind of a whole mindset change about where you want to locate and where people want to live. And it used to be that wherever the company was, people would go to the company. Now the company has to go to where the people want to live. And right now, young talent wants to live in central cities.
Yeah, interesting change. Greg Hines, always great to have your insight. Greg's a columnist with Crain's Chicago Business. Up next, a look at the markets from Bloomberg. Some records happening on Wall Street.
WBBM News Time, 1225. WBBM Business is sponsored by Seattle Sutton Healthy Eating. Here's Joan Doniger at Bloomberg.
Well, gentlemen, we are aiming for more records on Wall Street, but the Dow is aiming particularly high. Right now, it is up 158 points to 23,155. The NASDAQ is aiming for its record, up 8 points, the S&P up 4. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index gaining a third of a percent. It's boosted by gains in Sears and AbbVie shares. Sears are climbing from a 52-week low with this week's departure of Bruce Berkowitz from the company's board. Seeking Alpha now says with more than $4 billion in debt, there is a great chance of Sears filing for bankruptcy in coming months. IBM, however, looks like it is turning itself around, and Wall Street is applauding the company's moves toward cloud and security. Its earnings report came in better than predicted, both in terms of profit and revenue. Revenue losses were small. IBM shares are up 9% for their best day since 2009. That's what's driving the Dow. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Light two-sided trade here during the harvest season. We have December corn down 1 3/4, 3.48 1/4. March also down 1 3/4. Beans at the moment for November up 1/4 at 9.85. They've been up 3 to down 3. Jans are up 1/2. And we have December wheat down 4 3/4 at 4.30. Penny off their low and 6 off their high. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities Normal. You can reach us at 800-779-1515.
The Dow up 156 points with business at 25 and 55. Live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 1230. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Rob Hart for Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are higher. We'll see what's moving the markets.
Ford announces a recall of the best-selling vehicle in America.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday, helping couples figure out the best way to blend their finances.
Amazon's foray into the online grocery business isn't having a major impact on shoppers so far.
The Bulls' Bobby Portis receives an 8-game suspension for punching a teammate in the face during practice.
WBBM Sports, the Dow is up 155 points right now. The S&P 500 up 4. The NASDAQ up 8 1/4.
Lots of sunshine in Chicagoland throughout your afternoon. A nice breeze headed to a high of 72 degrees. Right now, 66 at O'Hare, also 66 Midway, 65 along Chicago's lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by GWC Law.
Ford is recalling 1.3 million F-Series trucks because of a problem with the doors. Let's get the details from Keith Naughton, who is an auto reporter with Bloomberg News based in Detroit. Keith, welcome back to the program. What's going on with these F-Series trucks?
Well, it's a door latch problem that could cause the door to open while you're driving down the road. So it could be a very dangerous circumstance. They don't have any injuries or deaths as a result of this yet, but they're moving quickly to try and fix it. And it is a lot of trucks, 1.3 million, as you say.
And the price tag projected $267 million to repair the problems with these trucks. How does that impact Ford's business? I mean, starting with just their bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty significant chunk of change. They're going to book that in the 4th quarter. This is the second time this year they've had a door latch recall. They had one earlier this year that was about $300 million. So it definitely hurts. And at a time when they're trying to spend a lot of money developing driverless cars and electric cars, so, they need all the money they can get, and nothing generates more profit for them than the F-Series pickup.
Is there a way in which car companies plan for this, expecting that, while they're hopeful there's no recalls, expecting that something may go wrong and it may cost them a lot of money?
They do hedge a bit. There's always some big recall. You'll recall last year we had the Takata airbag one that also hit Ford. But it still, it still takes a hit to profits, and it costs money and time. And particularly on a product that's as prominent and important to Ford as the F-Series, it's not something they want.
Yeah, very significant. Keith Naughton, thanks for joining us. Keith is an auto reporter at Bloomberg based in Detroit.
Markets are easing upward today. We're joined by Tim Grisky, who is the Chief Investment Officer of Solaris Asset Management, based in New York. Tim, welcome back to the program. The Dow is up sharply. It's up triple digits right now, up 155 points. What's driving this day of good feeling?
Well, it's a record for the Dow, and that's great news. And for the markets in general, it's been quite a ride, and we actually expect to continue. Today, I think, you know, one of the big stories here is IBM having very strong earnings. They reported both surprises relative to Wall Street expectations on revenues and on earnings. They did not raise guidance for the year, however, but I think it does show some stability here at IBM, which, of course, has been mired in old technology, and they're trying to move out of that and move forward and be more relevant for the future.
And it sounds like the rather resilient stock market was once again able to shrug off bad news. The report on new housing starts, application for new construction, they basically said, well, hurricane, and moved on.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, the housing numbers were not bad. They were just slightly below expectations, Wall Street expectations. And you could certainly see that from the weather we have, you know, impacting those numbers. So housing starts actually were not terrible either. So yeah, I think this is something that's going to pass quickly.
Now, one question, Tim, on IBM. As you mentioned, earnings better than expected. Still, though, some challenges. 22 consecutive quarters of declining revenue. Bright spot, cloud, income from cloud certainly rising for them. I mean, is IBM on solid footing here? Are they going to start to get that revenue up again?
Well, revenue was down year over year, but only by 0.4%. So that's not a big revenue decline. You know, this is a company that still has a lot of old technology, a lot of hardware, which is less relevant in the age of the cloud, where really a lot of the hardware will be shared among users. I think the future here is, you know, what they call Watson. We would call either big data or artificial intelligence, and that really is probably the biggest area of growth for them, and was very strong this quarter in particular. So it's a company that's in a transition. I think what seems good here is that it may have begun to stabilize, and those big declines in revenues may be a thing of the past.
Let's talk about Amazon for just a moment, because they made a big bet on online grocery shopping, betting that people would stay home and order online. Doesn't look like people are changing their habits yet, though.
No, I mean, this is a very recent acquisition, Amazon buying Whole Foods. And I think we'll see Whole Foods change in terms of how it presents its products to consumers. I think those stores will also be used as hubs for drone delivery. So this is a store that's going to be see a lot of change over the next several years, but not right away. You're correct, though. Customers in general, grocery customers, like to go to their local stores. And Amazon is going to have to try to change that, I think, in order to really have an impact on the industry.
Very quickly, tell us about the Amazon experience at Kohl's. 10 stores now selling Amazon devices and accepting Amazon returns.
Yeah, Amazon does partner with other companies, other retailers. This is obviously an experiment for them, a test. It's only 10 stores. They're doing something similar with Nike on the footwear side. They try a lot of different things, and then they decide what sticks, what makes sense for the future. We'll see if this is one that really expands into all their stores.
Great insight. Thanks for joining us. Tim Grisky, Chief Investment Officer at Solaris Asset Management in New York. Ahead, Personal Finance Wednesday, helping couples perform a money merger, or should they merge their money at all?
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday here on the Noon Business Hour, and this afternoon we focus on couples and money. Personal Finance Wednesday, sponsored by Country Financial. Lisa Gerstner is joining us, contributing editor at Kiplinger's Personal Finance at Kiplinger.com, based in Washington, D.C. Lisa, before we get into how to merge money, should couples merge money? Is it a good idea, whether you're living together or you're married, is it a good idea to join those finances?
I think it can often make sense, you know, it just for efficiency, making sure your bills are going out on time and from the same place. I mean, it can make a lot of sense, but it really just depends on your approach to finances. It really varies by couple on what they're comfortable with.
How do you have that conversation? It seems like it would be very uncomfortable to bring up the first time.
Yeah, so start talking about just things like your approach to finances, your goals, you know, what you're trying to save for, and then just that more nitty-gritty stuff then you can kind of transition to, like how much debt you're carrying, credit score. You know, those can be uncomfortable topics, but if you want this to work, those are things that you really need to approach with each other.
I know your specialty is personal finance, but is it appropriate to make assumptions about someone's relationship if they don't merge their accounts after marriage?
Yeah, you can't make any assumptions. You really got to talk to each other, you know, work it out, and just see what's going to work for both of you. You never know until you talk about it.
Is there a chance that sometimes it just gets really complicated if you keep it separate as opposed to bringing, because you mentioned that it's simpler to keep things together. Is it just too complicated to keep them apart?
Yeah, it's not necessarily too complicated. If you really want to keep your own accounts, you can do that. So some ideas, maybe you would keep separate checking accounts and then you decide which bills are going to come from which ones or how you're going to handle that. Maybe one person handles the rent or mortgage payment and the other one takes care of some bills. So there are ways you can work around that, but you just need to figure out how to do it. But yeah, like I said, just for the sake of keeping it easy, sometimes it can make sense to have a joint checking account, maybe for your fixed expenses, but then you keep separate maybe credit cards for discretionary items, so kind of things you want to spend on yourself. And a good way to handle that can be to set limits, so maybe you're only allowed to spend $100, you know, up to that amount before you have to consult your partner, or maybe you set some monthly limit on how much you can spend on shopping or whatever it may be. You know, those can be good ways to handle it, where you kind of keep it together, but then you have your own ways that you can spend money and still keep it under control.
Thank you very much, Lisa Gerstner, contributing editor, Kiplinger's Personal Finance and Kiplinger.com, based in Washington. Join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday. And still to come, a very affordable ticket can be found for tonight's Cubs playoff game.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's do or die for the Cubs at Wrigley Field tonight. What will it cost to see the end of the season or the start of a historic comeback? Let's find out from Sean Pate, vice president of the mobile ticketing app Game Time, based in San Francisco. Sean, we're about 7 hours away from first pitch. What's the state of the resale markets at this moment?
Well, I can tell you this, guys. If you've been priced out of Cubs postseason baseball in the past, today is definitely going to be your day. We're going to see prices probably as low as they've ever been in the resale market history for the Cubs game tonight. And despite being down 3-0, it's great news for fans that can get in for right now under $80 on Game Time.
Is this usually how it goes when a team is facing a four-game, being on the wrong end of a four-game sweep, that the bottom really falls out on prices when the elimination game comes?
Yeah, it's pretty typical. And, you know, what's interesting is Chicago is such a unique market with such passionate, loyal, devoted fans that are really in it for the experience, not necessarily the winningness. And even 2 years ago when the Cubs were down 3-0 to the Mets, prices were still running high into the $200 average. But we're going to see tonight, based on, I think, some of the fatigue that might have set in from Cubs fans spending so much over the last, you know, year and a half, and where this series has sort of taken its toll. I mean, it's just been sort of a frustrating run for the Cubs those last few games against the Dodgers. So, you know, prices are off about 50% from what we saw last week. And I would not be surprised to see a ticket for $50 come closer to game time.
Cubs did something this year other teams have done, requiring a deposit in order to get into the lottery to buy playoff tickets. In a situation like this, you know, game where they're likely to be eliminated, is that where that pays off for the ball club?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure of the complete policy there, but it is not atypical for teams to ask for a deposit to get teams within a queue. I'm sorry, to get fans within a queue to wait for those playoff tickets, and then that deposit goes to maybe the first round or whatever they've gone to. So I'm not 100% clear what the Cubs have done, but it's not something that we haven't seen before.
Well, Sean, may we talk to you tomorrow. Thank you very much. Sean Pate, Vice President of the mobile ticketing app Game Time, based in San Francisco. A check on the markets next.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. We're wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of Wall Street, sponsored by Lake Forest Sports Cars, the Ferrari specialists at Bloomberg. Here's Joan Doniger.
Cisco Wall Street's record pace is gaining speed now thanks to IBM earnings. The Dow is up 160 points to 23,157. The Nasdaq is up 10, the S&P 4, the Bloomberg WBBM Chicago index up 0.33%. Sears is bouncing off a deep low there. But IBM is having a day for the history books. The company that used to be called Big Blue shocked investors with the best earnings report seen in almost 9 years. So Wall Street is giving IBM a day it hasn't seen in 8. Shares jumping more than 9%, and it is responsible for about 95 points of the Dow's gain. Wasn't a happy NBA debut for Nike on its first night as an NBA outfitter. Embarrassment. It centered on the King. The big rip in the back of LeBron James's jersey. Neither Nike nor the NBA is commenting. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Joan Doniger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.